Salvation from hell, justification in the eyes of God, is absolutely critical for you to understand. You are a soul. And God Almighty has laid out clearly in His Word how you must be justified in His eyes, how you must have all of your sins forgiven. So pay diligent attention to this message from the Word of God regarding your soul. This is the reason why I warn you now. In Revelation chapter 20, I read, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." How much more simpler can God tell you in sixth grade English this? "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." If your name is not written in the book of life, indeed, you will be most certainly cast into the lake of fire at the great white throne judgment. God has made it so clear and so simple in His book what you must do to have all of your sins forgiven, but you must first understand that indeed you have to have all of your sins forgiven before you die right now in the land of the living. Because if you die in your sins, there will be no hope for you. God lays out for you very simply in His Word, starting in the book of Romans, the first four chapters in the King James Bible, what you must do to have all of your sins forgiven. You have to first understand, though, that He's going to tell you evil tidings. He's going to prove from the Scriptures alone that indeed you are guilty and condemned. Guilty and condemned and on your way to hell. So as we listen now to the words of God, on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ, I beseech you to pay diligent attention so that at the end of this lesson, as I preach unto you truth, you will understand what you must do to have all of your sins forgiven, and you will indeed do it. Romans chapter 1 is clear. In verse 18, I will start there. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." The issue is the wrath of God against you. God's wrath is indeed the lake of fire. And it is no joke. It is as the most serious thing you can ever understand, because you are a soul and you are going to live forever somewhere. It's either going to be in the lake of fire or in heaven's glory. And it's the issue is your sins need to be forgiven. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." So as I start to tell you now and preach unto you these evil tidings, we're going to go through each one of them and the doctrines laid out here so that you can understand. You need to believe everything you're hearing. Because if anywhere along the way that you reject this truth, if you don't want to hear it anymore, if you don't want to believe what God says unto you in His words, regarding His word about your own self, there is no hope for you. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. God has revealed unto you some truths about himself. And listen to what they are and how they were revealed unto you. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. God has put inside of you some things that you are to know about him. You are to know these things regarding the God of the Bible, not the God of your imagination or the God of Christianity or the God of the foolish so-called wisdom of men. That's not the God of the Bible. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Watch how God has showed unto you some things about himself, because you have to first understand, you have to get a proper understanding of the God of the Bible, your creator, the one who holds your breath in his hands. You have to understand him and how he presents himself in his book. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. God has some invisible things regarding his own self that he has demonstrated and showed unto you from the creation of the world. And these things are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. You know through creation that there is a creator and that he is God Almighty. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. You know about the God of the Bible because of creation. When you look up and see the sun, the moon, the stars, when you see everything here in the land of the living, the earth, the birds, the trees, the seas, and all of the wonderful things of God's creation, you know that he's the creator. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Watch what you know about God, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You know clearly that God has eternal power over you, and he has Godhead authority over you. He is God over you. Godhead authority over you. You are the creation. He is your creator. So that they are without excuse. You will have no excuse ever to say that you didn't know that God existed. Because you know he's there from creation. And creation speaks clearly to you of his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, so you knew him. The question is, do you still know him today as told unto you from the word of God, as what God tells you about creation? Because that, when they knew God, watch what you started to do. They glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. You didn't give glory unto God as the creator. You think that you're something special and that you have all these rights to walk around in the land of the living and in his earth, in his creation, just rejecting his laws, thumbing your nose at him, never thanking him for anything. You're not thankful for anything. Neither were thankful. You're not even thankful that you have breath in the land of the living. And that even though you transgress his laws daily, and he does not punish you while you're in the land of the living for the transgression of his laws, you're still not thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. You see, in your imagination, if it doesn't contain the words of God, as I'm reading them unto you, if you don't have in your imagination the truth regarding God, your imagination is one of vanity. And if it's vanity, there's no profit in it, nor can it deliver you. And their foolish heart was darkened. You see, when you become vain in your imagination, your thinking, where you think in your heart, your mind becomes foolish, and their foolish heart was darkened. You do this then. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. If you think you're so smart, if you think you're so wise because you can reject the God of creation, the God of the Bible, and you can just go on your merry way, how smart are you? Because you're going to die. So you're not too smart, are you? No, you're not. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That's what you are when you reject the God of creation. And you know what you did? And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. You then start worshiping images. I was raised as a Roman Catholic. And in our church building, there was all these idols. And the reason people make images and the reason they change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man is because that statue has a mouth, but it doesn't speak. That statue, that image has eyes, but it doesn't see. Noses they have, but they don't smell anything. Mouths they have, but they speak not. Ears they have, they hear not. They have feet, but they can't walk anywhere. They have hands, they can't touch anything. And the reason man makes images and why idolatry in the Roman Catholic Church and other churches is so prevalent is because that image doesn't open its mouth and condemn you to hellfire. That's why man makes these images made like to corruptible man. And to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. They make all these images, not just to man, but then to birds, beasts, and creeping things. It just keeps spiraling down their idolatry. So you know what God does? I don't know what you think about God. I don't know if you think that God's going to chase you because you're so special. If you're at this point in your mind, or if you have ever been at this point in your mind where you're just a idol-worshipping fake person who rejects the God of the Bible as spoken unto you by creation, you know what God's going to do? Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness. So if you want to just continue to be a fool, to be vain in your imagination, having your foolish heart darkened, God will give you up. Go ahead. Go right on down that path of foolishness. You just keep going on that broad way that leadeth to destruction. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts. You see that? Your own hearts. You have lusts and you want them fulfilled to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. That's what you want. You want to dishonor your own body between another person's body. That's all you care about is the satisfaction of the lust of your wicked flesh. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. You took the truth of the God of creation and changed it into a lie. And then look what you did. And worshiped and served the creature, small c, that's the devil, Satan, more than the Creator, capital C, God Almighty, who is blessed forever. Amen. You see, I know you probably think you're not worshiping and serving Satan, the creature, but that doesn't matter. That's what being deceived is all about, because deceived people do not know they are deceived. For if they knew they were deceived, they would no longer be deceived. That's why you need to understand and believe the word of God and what God is telling you about your own self. So if you change this truth of God from creation into a lie, you will worship and serve the adversary, the creature, Satan himself, more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Then it will turn into this. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. Now, the Holy Scriptures are clear, and they are going to list unto you what God calls a vile affection. For even their women, Here's what it is. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. When a woman is attracted to another woman, that is called a vile affection in the Bible. And likewise also the men. When a man is attracted to another man, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly. So when a man is with another man, not only is it vile, it is unseemly. And they're going to get payback in their flesh here in the land of the living and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. You see, it's not an alternative lifestyle, and you weren't born that way. If you are a man with another man, you are a sodomite, and that is unseemly and vile. If you are a woman with another woman, that is vile, and it's your error. You can't blame God. You can't blame anybody but your own self. Just know this, that it is your error, and you're going to get payback. You will receive in themselves, right in your own body, that recompense. You'll be paid back in your body of their error, which was meat. It'll be fit for God to pay you back in your body for the violation of these natural laws that God has put in you because of your lustful sin, of your vile affections, your unseemly affections, wanting to be a man with a man or a woman with a woman. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. You see, you get to the point to where you do not even want to have the God of the Bible any longer in your knowledge. Because you see, the God of the Bible that has been put in your knowledge will not tolerate your sin. So you get rid of them. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, you see, you kick them out of your own mind. What does God do? God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. You are a reprobate. If you don't want to have the God of the Bible in your knowledge, he will give you over to a reprobate mind. That's what a reprobate mind is. One that does not want the God of the Bible in its knowledge. So notice, God gives you up, and then gives you over to your own self. And now, he does so, gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. So God's now going to list for you at the end of Romans chapter 1 a bunch of sins. And as you listen to these list of sins, know this, if you have ever committed one of these sins one time, verse 32 of Romans 1 says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You will die physically, that is your first death, and then you will die the second death when you're cast into the lake of fire. It will be the death of your soul. So let's listen to this list of sins, because these are the crimes that you have committed against God. You may think sin is normal and it's a joke and everybody does it. Listen to me. Sin is very serious to God Almighty, and you're going to see how serious it is if you reject his truth and you go on your merry way continuing to sin, and the split second you die and your soul goes into the flames of hell, you will understand immediately just how serious God is about sin. And you will burn in the flames of hell waiting for the great white throne judgment, of which time you will then be cast into the lake of fire, which is even worse than hellfire. Listen to these list of sins. And be honest with yourself. If you've ever done one of these sins one time, you're guilty. Being filled with all unrighteousness. If you've ever done anything that was not right, you're a sinner. Fornication. if you've ever done any act of sex outside of a lawful marriage bed, you are a fornicator. You're guilty. Wickedness. If you've ever done anything wicked, you're guilty. Covetousness. That means to desire things that God told you not to desire. If you have coveted things that God told you not to covet, you're a sinner. Maliciousness. If you've ever done anything malicious, just downright mean, you're a sinner. Next, full of envy. If you have ever envied anybody, if you've ever hated someone because they have something that you want to possess and you want to see them destroyed so that you can take possession of it, that's envy. And if you've ever envied anybody, you're a sinner. Murder. If you've ever killed anybody, you're a sinner. Debate. The reason debate is a sin is when you argue against the Bible. When you argue and debate against truth with that vile mouth of yours flapping away, trying to argue against truth, that's debate against the Word of God, and that is sin. Next, deceit. If you've ever deceived anybody through your lying tongue, that's a sin. You're a sinner. Malignity. Have you ever maligned somebody's character, slandered them, told lies about them? That's malignity. You're a sinner. Whisperers. If you've ever gossiped behind someone's back about the vain things of life or anything, that's a whisperer. You're a sinner. Backbiters. And then even worse than being a whisperer, you're then a backbiter. You won't speak with people to their face regarding truth. You wait till their back is turned on you, and then you backbite them. You're a coward and you're a sinner. Haters of God is next on the list. If you have ever sinned, you hate God. You're an enemy of God. Because if you keep God's commandments, you will love him. But you don't. You break his commandments, so you're a hater of God. That means you're an enemy of God. That means you're a sinner. Despiteful. Have you ever been despiteful? If you don't know what the word means, I suggest you find out its definition. Because if you've ever been despiteful, you're a sinner. Look at this next one, proud. Oh yeah, all the time we hear people are so proud. Proud is a wrong estimation and thinking of your own self. When you're proud and you're filled with pride, you have this own thinking regarding your own self as if you're somebody or something important. Pride is a sin in the eyes of God. This book is clear. It's clear. Back in the book of Proverbs, God writes, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him." The first one is a proud look. God hates pride. A proud look. Next is a lying tongue. Next is, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift and running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Two times in that list of seven sins, God talks about lies and a lying tongue. But mark it down, he hates pride. That's the number one thing on the list. Boasters is next in Romans chapter 1 in this list of crimes against God that you've participated in. Boasters, you brag about things. That's because your pride causes you to boast about yourself and your accomplishments and who you are or who you think you are. Inventors of evil things. Many times you have come up and invented in your mind an evil thing. Next on the list is disobedient to parents. Notice, being disobedient to parents makes the same list as a murderer. Sin is sin to God Almighty, and yes, there are degrees of sin, which means some sins are worse than others, But still, any sin will put you in hellfire and the judgment of God. You will stand at the great white throne judgment, and you will be cast into the lake of fire. Next, in verse 31, this is a sin without understanding. You see, when you don't understand the Bible, that's a sin. You know why? Because it's through faith we understand, the book says. It's through faith we understand. But when you don't believe the Bible, therefore you don't get any understanding, God lists without understanding as a sin. Covenant breakers. Have you ever broken a covenant with someone? You're a sinner. Without natural affection. We just spoke about that. About the unseemly, vile affections of men with men and women with women. That's not natural. And when you are without natural affection, you're a sinner. Implacable. You can't be moved. You're not going to change your mind. Unmerciful. There's no mercy in you. The last verse in Romans 1 says, who knowing the judgment of God. See, you know you're going to face God in judgment. That they which commit such things are worthy of death. The things that we just listed, if you've committed one of those things one time, you are worthy of death. And the book is clear. That's why you're going to die physically one day. Because, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So you're going to die physically one day, and then you're going to die a second death. And listen how the second death is described. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, every single one of you that is a liar, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So you're going to die a first death, and then you're going to die a second death. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man. You see, you won't have an excuse now. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man. I mean, we just listed the crimes against you. These horrible sins, these transgressions of God's holy laws are going to bring death to you physically and then spiritually on your soul, that second death, when you're cast into the lake of fire. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judges. You see, when you started hearing those list of sins, perhaps you started judging someone else. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. So if you thought of anybody else being a sinner, instead of thinking of your own self, when you try to blame shift, you just condemned yourself because you're doing the same things. Now, with those crimes listed by God, proven that you have been proved right now by the scriptures that you are indeed worthy of death, that you're a sinner, a transgressor of God's laws, a hater of God, an enemy of God. That's really the truth about yourself. You need to start believing what God says to you about your own self so that you can start getting on the path of understanding truth. But if you don't believe what God just told you about your own self, well, then you just can turn this off and go on your merry way, and you'll pay for your sins in the lake of fire forever. Now, the great white throne judgment that we read earlier, that great white throne that you're going to face God at just before you're cast into the lake of fire, watch how that day is going to function. Here's how God is going to now tell you how that day is going to function. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. All those things that we just listed and those sins that you have done, that day, that judgment of God is according to truth. Truth. The exact accordance to the facts. That exactly what it's going to be like. Truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. You're used to telling lies and getting out of truth, but guess what? That day is going to be that judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. Truth. So you can reject it and run from it and hide from it, but you're never going to change it. So you need to face it. And right about now, you're probably thinking, how can I escape this judgment? And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Are you really thinking that, foolishly, that you can somehow escape the judgment of God? Where are you going to go? The whole earth is going to be burnt up. The heavens are going to be dissolved. And all that's going to be there is your soul right there in what you know is outer space and a great white throne with billions of other sinners like yourself ready to be sentenced forever into the lake of fire. So where are you going to go? How are you going to escape? You can't escape death. No matter how rich you are, no matter how long you live, death is still going to come. And you'll never escape death. Therefore, you will never escape the judgment of God. So don't even think that. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? And even though you are thinking it, stop. That's foolish thinking. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering? You see, are you despising right now the riches of God's goodness? The riches of his forbearance. I mean, he's good to you. He has allowed you to live as a transgressing sinner against him to this point to where you could hear the truth from his book. That's the riches of his goodness, that he's even allowing you to hear this message of salvation. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance? Do you despise his forbearance? He's forbeared you all these years and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. You see, you don't know that. You do not know, you do not understand that God's goodness is leading thee to repentance. You don't know that. All repentance is, and you must repent. God commands you to repent. All that repentance is for you to change your mind. That is it. That is all repentance is. You need to change your mind. So everything you're hearing here, you need to change your mind and get rid of your stupid thinking, your foolish thinking that is damning your soul to hell. And you need to start believing and thinking just like God tells you the truth. You need to agree and think regarding what God is telling you. But this is what you're doing. You're not repenting right now, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, if you have a hard and impenitent heart, if you refuse to change your mind, if you want to have a hard heart like you're so tough, like you can just withstand the flames of the lake of fire, you're such a tough person, aren't you? You're not afraid of burning forever, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, you know what you're doing? Because you have a hard and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath. All you're doing is storing up, treasurest up unto thyself. You're just treasuring up unto your own self. You're just building your sin debt even higher every day you live. Treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath. That day at the great white throne judgment is not a guilt or innocence trial. It is a day of wrath. And all you're doing is treasuring up unto your own self wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. It will be right for God to throw you into the lake of fire. God's judgment will be right. He will be just. He will be righteous when he casts you into the lake of fire, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Every single one of you, every single person listening to this truth gospel preached unto you, will have everything. God's going to render to every man according to his deeds. Now, if you think, foolishly, that you don't need a Savior, you don't need salvation, because your life is good enough and you're a pretty good person and you're going to somehow, some way squeak on by the great white throne judgment just on your own merits, well, God has a standard for you then at the great white throne. What I'm going to read to you now is at the great white throne, if you think you're going to get by your own life, here's the standard. So let's see if your life is going to measure up to this standard. If you don't want a Savior, if you don't want to believe that you're a sinner, if you don't want to believe you're condemned, if you don't want to believe you're guilty, you just listen to the standard that God's going to judge you by regarding your own life. Let's see if your life measures up to it. Here we go. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, God will give you eternal life. If you can demonstrate that your entire life in the land of the living was one of patient continuance in well-doing, every day you live, you just patiently continued in well-doing the entire time, you sought for glory and honor and immortality, God will give you eternal life. He says it another way. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. So if you can demonstrate that your life was one of just working good, you just patiently continued in well-doing every day you lived. You never did bad. You never did evil. You never did not patiently continue in well-doing. You always just did well, patiently continuing in well-doing the whole time. What did you do? Seek for glory and honor and immortality. Your whole life, your goal was to seek for your own glory and your own honor from God and immortality to live forever. God will give you eternal life. Now, if you can demonstrate that at the great white throne judgment, you won't need a Savior, you're not a sinner, and God will give you eternal life. That's the standard. But here's the truth. But unto them that are contentious, if you want to argue with the Bible, if you want to contend with God, but unto them that are contentious, if you want to debate with God and do not obey the truth, you see, the truth is there is none good. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. So you're not good. But if you want to contend, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, you're not obeying the truth that you're hearing right now. You're not repenting. But obey unrighteousness. You want to continue to obey unrighteousness. You want to obey sin. You want to obey your own foolish, wicked thinking. You want to think you're smarter than the Bible, but obey unrighteousness. You're going to get four things from God: indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. So you're going to face God Almighty at the great white throne judgment, and you'll know what indignation is all about. God will be indignant towards you. He will be burning with his anger as he faces you, his enemy. And then he's going to pour out his wrath and wrath because your sin, your transgression of his laws, has offended his holiness, and his justice will demand payment. So the wrath is going to come, and that's going to be the lake of fire. The actual wrath that you will be put into is the wrath of God, not the wrath of man, but the wrath of God. And that is the lake of fire. And then as soon as your soul hits the lake of fire, you will experience forever and ever tribulation and anguish, the highest form of pain and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. You think you have problems in the land of the living. You don't know problems till your soul will hit the lake of fire, and you will be there forever and ever. And the smoke of your torment will ascend up forever and ever. you will have no rest day nor night, and you will grind and gnash your teeth, and you'll remember this day. Your memory will haunt you when you could have repented in the land of the living and believed these evil tidings first and foremost, so that you then would have your eyes open to seeing a need for a Savior. For there is no respect of persons with God. For there is no respect of persons with God. I don't care who you think you are, how important you think you are. It doesn't matter. If you're some big, high person in society or in the world, or if you're just a bum on Skid Row, it doesn't matter. So again, before I move on, I'm going to read unto you the standard at the Great White Throne Judgment for those of you who are going to just put forth your wicked lives from when you were in the land of the living as a, you might say, defense, as a merit in front of God that you should get eternal life. Here we go. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace, but glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile, for there is no respect of persons with God. Now watch how God is going to get you at the Great White Throne Judgment. Even though you think you have all these secrets and all these secret sins hidden that nobody knew about, watch how he's going to go right into your mind, right where you think, and get you. For as many as have sinned without law, you never had a Bible, you never read the written laws of God, shall also perish without law. You're still going to perish. And as many as have sinned in the law, those are the ones who did have a Bible, shall be judged by the law. Now watch how God's going to get you. For not the hearers of the law are just before God. Just because you heard about God's laws, that doesn't make you just. But the doers of the law shall be justified. You have to do the law. And here's the problem with that. God says in the book of James chapter 2, verse 10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law, the whole thing, and yet offend in one point, if you break one law, he is guilty of all. How about that? If you kept the entire law, but yet broke it in one point, you offended God in one point of it, you are guilty of breaking the entire law. Back to Romans chapter 2. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. So remember, if you're going to try to do the law and keep all of these laws from God, remember Proverbs 24, verse 9, the thought of foolishness is sin. So you can't even have a foolish thought, because if you do, that's sin. But if you want to just try to keep all these laws, just remember, you got to be perfect. You can never break one law. You have to be a doer of the law, then you'll be justified. For when the Gentiles, that's you, Gentiles are just people of all the nations except the Jew. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, now watch how God's going to get you. They don't have the written law, all these nations, right? They didn't have a Bible. But watch this. Do by nature the things contained in the law, just by nature. We know, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. You have some laws written in you that you just by nature know that you can't do. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves. You see, there's laws written in you that become then a law unto themselves, which, watch what happens, which show the work of the law written in their hearts. God has written in your hearts. That's your mind. That's where you think. some of his laws, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness. You see, you got a conscience. You know that when you broke God's laws, your conscience bore witness to that. Inside of your mind, God put that conscience there to say, you shouldn't have done that. Their conscience also bearing witness. And then watch what happens. And their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. So your thoughts are going to accuse you of the crime because your conscience bore witness to the laws you broke in your mind. Or else excusing one another. Or it's going to excuse you. In the day, that day at the great white throne judgment, when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. That day, you're going to have these secrets. All these secrets that you've held, they're going to be, God's going to judge you by. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Now, this is a tremendous turning point here. Thus far, we've seen and learned about the God of creation, the God of the Bible, and that you have broken his laws, that list of sins we listed for you. And we have seen that the great white throne judgment where you're going to as a guilty sinner is a day of wrath. It's a righteous judgment, and it's according to truth, and that God's going to use your own mind and your conscience and your thoughts against you when he judges you of all of these secrets, whether or not you had a Bible at all. And that's how he's going to get you, all the people of this earth, as well as the Jews. But now, God starts in Romans 2, in verse 17, all the way through chapter 3, verse 8. He's going to talk to the Jew specifically. And I am now going to talk to the Jew. But if you're a Gentile, you're not a Jew, you still keep listening. Because you're already guilty. And the Jew is already guilty. But now the Jew is going to even be in worse trouble at the great white throne judgment because they were God's people and they should have known better. Here we go for the Jew. Behold, thou art called a Jew and restest in the law and makest thy boast of God and knowest his will and approvest the things that are more excellent being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Now don't worry, Mr. Gentile, Mr. Non-Jew, or Miss Non-Jew, or Mrs. Non-Jew, or child accountable age non-Jew. Don't worry if you understand this because you're not a Jew, but a Jew understands this. I'll read verse 20 again and we'll move on. An instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. God has some questions for you, Mr. or Mrs. or Miss Jew or accountable child Jew. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal, you hypocrite Jew? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery, you hypocrite Jew? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege, you hypocrite Jew? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, through the Jews, as it is written. Now again, a Jew will understand this. For circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. God made a covenant with the nation of Israel regarding circumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law? Again, the Jew understands all this. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Just because a Jew has the covenant of circumcision doesn't make him a Jew. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. And just because he's a Jew with the blood of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob running through his veins, one of the 12 tribes, and because he has the covenant of circumcision, that just doesn't make it with God. It doesn't cut it. He cannot fly the flag. Well, I'm a Jew in the flesh. Big deal. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. See, the issue is in their heart, just like you Gentiles. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Let me just read that section straight through now to where we left off. For the Jew, behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself, you hypocrite? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Hypocrite. Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Hypocrite. Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? You hypocrite. Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonorest thou God, you hypocrites. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. For circumcision verily profiteth, if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. What advantage then hath the Jew? I mean, about this time, if you're a Jew, you got to be thinking, well, what advantage do I as a Jew have? I mean, we were called God's people. We are God's chosen people. What's going on here? What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way. Chiefly, because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. You see, the Jews alone were given the written word of God. But today, in this age in which we live, all of us have access to the King James Bible in the English language. We today have the oracles of God. But in time past, the chief advantage a Jew had was that he had and was committed unto him the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? I mean, what if some of the Jews, though, didn't believe that their chief advantage was the possession of the oracles of God? For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Just because a Jew did not handle and believe and treasure the precious word of God they had, even though they didn't believe it was a chief advantage, if some of them didn't believe that, shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? This book is called The Faith of God. And you should thank God, even as a Gentile right now, or a Jew, that in English, you can hold in your hands the King James Bible, because in English, that is the completed, perfect, pure words and word of God Almighty. So no matter what man thinks about the word of God, it will never make the faith of God without effect. The answer is God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. You see, that's the issue. God's true, and every man is a liar, and that includes you. You're a liar, but God is true. God forbid Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written. Now watch how the Jew is going to argue at the great white throne judgment. That thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, that's God being justified in his sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. The wicked Jew is going to change that psalm and pervert it into saying something different than it says in the Psalms. But anyways, God is going to be judged by the lost Jew there at the great white throne judgment. And watch how the lost Jew is going to twist the word of God to try to get out of being cast into the lake of fire. Watch what he's going to argue against God in verse 5 of Romans 3. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. You see, the Jew's going to say, if his own unrighteousness, the Jew is going to say, if his sin just simply commends the righteousness of God, well, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? In other words, the Jew is going to argue that his sin makes God look better. And his sin is going to make, why would God take vengeance? When it just simply commends the righteousness of God, the Jew is going to argue that. The answer from God will be, God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? That's the answer they're going to get, and that's the answer they get now. For if the truth of God, so the Jew tries a second time, for if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? So the Jew's going to argue that because of their lies, just caused the truth of God to more abound unto the glory of God, why would God then judge him as a sinner? And not rather, as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say. You see, the Apostle Paul was slandered in his day, evil reports that were not true, just like real preachers and teachers today are slandered with evil reports that are not true. But I take great comfort knowing, for we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth, and not rather, as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say. Remember, Paul was slandered. Truth will always be slandered, as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil, that good may come, whose damnation is just. The damnation of the Jew and the Gentile at the great white throne judgment is just. And now here is the end of the evil tidings. Here is God's closing argument, so to speak, in court. But you won't be able to argue back. God is righteous, and he's going to declare unto you at the end of these evil tidings, he's going to sum it all up for you. You pay diligent attention. What then? Are we better than they? Are the Jews better than the Gentiles? The answer is no, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. God has already proved to you in that list of sins that you're a sinner, both Jew and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. Every single person born into this world who reaches in an accountable age is then under sin. As it is written. Listen to the words of God now. And you better agree with these evil tidings as they close out, or you will have no hope of ever being saved from hell. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. That includes you. There is none that understandeth. You don't understand what's going to happen to you when you die. There is none that seeketh after God. You're not seeking after the God of the Bible. They are all gone out of the way. You have gone out of the way, that straight and narrow way, which leadeth unto life. that straight gate, that narrow way that leadeth unto life. You've gone out of that way. You are on the broad way to destruction. They are all gone out of the way. They are together, both Jews and Gentiles, everybody, become unprofitable. There is no profit in you to God. I don't care how profitable you may think you are, but you bring nothing to the table. You are unprofitable to God. They are together, both Jews and Gentiles, become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Not one Jew or Gentile on this earth, according to God Almighty, does good. And that's because God's standard of doing good is that you do good every day you ever lived on the earth. That's God's standard. So he can righteously and rightfully and justly say, there is none that doeth good. No, not one. Now listen to how God describes your filthy throat and mouth. Their throat is an open sepulcher. A sepulcher is where dead men are buried, and their bones stink in the stench of death there. Their throat is an open sepulcher. So don't even think about opening your mouth and having that vile stench from your throat exit it to even think of asking God for mercy or leniency. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. An asp is a venomous serpent, a venomous snake. So your throat is an open sepulcher. Your tongues, you know what you've done with your tongues? All you've done with your tongue is use it for deceit, and the poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. That's what your mouth is full of. Don't even think of opening that vile mouth to even think of praying some stench-filled, vile prayer to God, thinking he's going to let you out of judgment because you ask him. It's never going to happen. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. That's all you have is misery. You think you're having a good life. No, you're not. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. You don't know peace. I mean real peace that only God can give. Inside of you, you're scared. You're afraid. You're in turmoil. You don't have peace. And you should be afraid. There is no fear of God before their eyes, but that's the truth. You should fear God, but you don't have any fear of God because you live in this world that has convinced you that God wouldn't throw you in hell and then in the lake of fire. He won't do that. You're a fool. There is no fear of God before their eyes, and Jesus Christ commands you to fear him. So what are you going to do? Call Jesus Christ a liar? Jesus Christ commands all to fear God Almighty. He says in the Gospel of Luke, "And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him, which after he hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." Jesus Christ said you need to fear God, because not only can he kill you, he can then cast you into hell. But the Bible is clear. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's your real problem. You don't fear the one who holds your breath in his hand and can kill you and then cast you into hellfire. You don't fear him. You're a fool if you don't fear God. And you don't. Now watch how these evil tidings end. Now we know. You see, now you know. You can't claim ignorance no longer. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, and that's you. For the purpose and intent, all these laws were written, that every mouth may be stopped. God commands you to stop your mouth. Don't listen to anybody, no foolish, deceived preacher or teacher or pastor or anybody who tells you to pray a prayer. God tells you to stop your mouth. That's what the Bible says. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. So the verdict is in right now as you're listening to this message. You are guilty. The verdict is in the land of the living. When you die and go to the great white throne judgment, you will show up there after burning in the flames of hell. You will show up at the great white throne judgment as a condemned, guilty sinner to be sentenced. The great white throne judgment is not a guilt or innocence trial. It is a sentencing day. It is a day of wrath. You've already been found guilty. You are already condemned. So stop your mouth, quit arguing with God Almighty, and understand and believe that you are guilty before God. Now don't think, because you have a stopped mouth now, and that you're guilty, and you've accepted that guilty verdict and believed it, that's good if you have. But don't think you can now go do good deeds, because the next verse is clear, therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Don't think that you can go now do good deeds and you'll then get justified. Don't think that you can tell God, well, I know I've sinned and I'm sorry and I'll just never sin again. Even if you never sinned again, you still already have broken God's laws and you're guilty and will be held accountable for your time past sins. Even if you live sin-free from this day forward, you're still going to burn in the lake of fire forever. So don't even think that there's any good deed or any deeds of the law that you can do that will get you out of judgment. And now you have the knowledge of sin, and that's the problem. You're a sinner. Sin is the problem. And you need all of your sins forgiven, your past, your present, and even your future ones. That's the end of the evil tidings. Now, if you want to have all of your sins forgiven, listen to the glad tidings of good things that God has for you now, O guilty sinner, and keep your mouth stopped. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. That's what you need. You need the righteousness of God himself because you're not righteous. And God is willing and wanting to give you his righteousness. God wants to give you his righteousness. Watch how it happens. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the Old Testament law and the prophets bear witness to this salvation that God offers. Even the righteousness of God. Remember, God wants to give you his righteousness and take away all of your sins. He wants to impute unto you his righteousness. He wants to give it to you and take away and forgive all of your sins. How does that happen? Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. You see, God needed a faithful Savior for you, so he sent his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was faithful to go to the cross and never sin in his lifetime, and then go to the cross and die for all of your sins, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, notice this, unto all. God offers his righteousness, this gift of righteousness, unto all. And even though he offers it unto all, It only will be upon those and upon all them that believe. Even though he offers it to all, it will only be imputed unto those that believe. It will then rest. His righteousness will be given upon all them that believe. See, not pray, not ask, not beg, not try to do good deeds, not try to do any work, but unto them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I have sinned just like you have sinned. I and you, all of us, have come short of the glory of God. God's great goodness, everything about his own self, we come short of by our sin. But now listen to these glad tidings of good things, what God has for you, what God offers unto you now freely. God's going to tell you a message, and he wants you to believe it. Here we go. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. God says right now, because you're a human being, you're living right now, he will justify you freely. Being justified freely by his grace. God is gracious to you and can be gracious to you and to all of us because of what Jesus Christ did through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ, in Christ himself, he purchased redemption. In Christ himself is redemption, which is the forgiveness of sins. So God is telling you, he will justify you freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So forgiveness of sins are in Christ Jesus, whom God, talking about his son, whom God hath, he's already done this, whom God hath in time past, and I'm telling it to you now, what happened in time past at the cross, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. All a propitiation means, all the word means is, Jesus Christ was made sin for you, and God is setting forth to you his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a propitiation for you through faith in his blood. Did you know that God believes the blood of Jesus Christ paid for all of your sins? Therefore, you must believe what God believes. So right now, just believe that the blood of Jesus Christ paid for all of your sins. That's the gospel about Christ that you must believe first. Now, if you have believed the blood of Christ has paid for your sins, God is now going to tell you what you must do right now. After believing his blood, you must do this now. You're not justified yet. You're not forgiven yet. But you have believed in the blood of Christ as payment for your sins, and that is good. Now you must do this to be justified. Listen diligently as if your soul depends upon it, because it does. Romans 3:26 is what you must do. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness. And I am declaring unto you right now at this time how you can have the righteousness of God imputed unto you. That he might be just, God justly dealt with your sin, and the justifier. He is the justifier of him. That's you. Even if you're a woman, even if you're a child, boy or girl, the justifier of him, that's you, which this is what you got to do right now to be saved from hell, to have all of your sins forgiven. He's the justifier of him, which, listen, believeth in Jesus. That's what you do. If you want to be saved from hell right now, you believe in Jesus. Fully believe in him, fully persuaded. I'll explain in a very short moment. Right now, just place your trust, your faith, your belief in Jesus, believing that his blood paid for your sins. That's what you got to do, is you believe in Jesus because you've already believed his blood paid for your sins. Now you need to trust in him to save you. I mean, you have to trust someone to save you. What are you going to do? Trust yourself? That won't work. You believe in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. You see, you won't boast when you believe in Jesus. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude, this is how God concludes it, that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. You notice you're justified by faith without, not with, but without the deeds of the law. So you are justified by faith with no works. It's without works. If you add a work to it, you will not be justified. There is no works you can add to the perfect work of Jesus Christ at the cross. Because if you add a work, this is what's going to happen. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. If you want to work, if you want to think you can pray a prayer or do any other type of work, because prayer is a work, prayer is labor, prayer is striving, prayer is helping, prayer is good works, the Bible says. You do not ask for a free gift. You cannot ask God to get out of judgment, just like a murderer cannot ask a judge to let him go and not be sentenced to death. You can't ask either to get out of judgment. Prayer is a work. And if you think you can pray and open your mouth or do any other work, God told you to stop your mouth. Remember that? And to just believe in Jesus after having faith in his blood. Okay? Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Because now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace. You're not going to get the reward of eternal life, but of debt. You're still going to owe God for all of your sins. But to him that worketh not, you see, you don't work for it, but you do something. You do something. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. God will justify you when you believe on him, and God told you believing on God means to believe in Jesus here in the passage, because God said to believe him, and God said to believe in his son after you believed his blood paid for your sins. The only thing you can do that's not a work is to believe, and your faith has to be placed completely in Jesus Christ, in Jesus alone. So, in conclusion, what does it mean to believe in Jesus? What does the word believe mean? God describes it as being fully persuaded that what he, God, had promised, he, God, was able also to perform. So you must be fully persuaded, no doubt. You must be fully persuaded that when you believe in Jesus, after believing in his blood as payment for your lifetime of sin, God will indeed impute unto you and give you total forgiveness and his own righteousness. God will give you his righteousness and totally forgive you if you believe in Jesus after having faith in his blood. That's what you must do. No works. You can't pray. Prayer is a work. And if anybody tells you to pray, they're lying to you. They are deceived. You just believe in Jesus. As Romans 3:26 says, he's the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. And the reason you're going to believe in Jesus is because God believes the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, paid for all of your sins. And you better believe that first. You better believe the blood of Christ paid for your sins. And then to be justified, you just believe in Jesus, fully persuaded that God will indeed justify you freely and give you his righteousness. No works. Believe in Jesus only. Now, If you do not believe in Jesus and you reject him, if you do not believe this message from the Word of God and reject it, I have one final thing to say unto you. The words of Jesus Christ will haunt you forever. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words. If you want to reject Jesus Christ and receive not his words that I just preached unto you truthfully, Jesus Christ says this, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Remember, reject truth, reject this message, and in the last day, you will pay for it forever with your soul. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. If you don't know for certain that all of your sins are forgiven right now, that's because you have rejected this message. If I can help you in any way, call me directly at 812-967-8228. And all I'm going to do is tell you again the same thing. Okay, it's your soul. It's your choice. Choose wisely. Farewell.